For this evening, we want to look at this whole thing of image. From the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let's make man in our own image. Okay? God's never left that plan. That's what he wants to do. And of course, his great experiment, his name was Jesus. And did it work? Yes. Obviously, because yes. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen my Father. So now we have the perfect image of the Father in the person of Jesus Christ. But God is multiplying that image. We won't get into this part of it tonight. I keep talking about it. I keep pushing it off. But we're going to talk about the seed that he puts in us. That is that perfect image. And by that, he will actually bring us into holiness. But this is a holiness without legalism. As soon as you say holiness, people say, oh, I'm not here. No, there is a holiness. Jesus said, I sanctified myself that I might sanctify you.
Amen.
And he prayed that, John 17. Yes. He prayed that into existence. And so we are going to be changed from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, it takes two things. It takes the Spirit of God inside of us, the Word of God, and all of the Holy Spirit and all of that, but it also takes problems. You can't develop character unless you have problems. We'd all just be blobs. No. Holy Ghost blobs or whatever. But you get strengthened with all might by the Holy Spirit in the inner man, so I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So all the time that we're facing problems, we're not to be concerned about them. We're to call on the name of the Lord. Let him solve the problem miraculously, supernaturally. And what's that going to do? It's going to bring a manifestation of the image. The more we do this, the greater the glory of God through the image that's being produced, until the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. I think I told you, taking God 5.5 days to get this all set up. That's over 5,500 years. Day with the Lord's 1,000 years. So it's taken him 5.5 days to get people all over the earth born again, filled with his Spirit, and now he has everything set the way he wants it to come and reveal himself through us in the midst of the problems. And we mentioned this before, but I'll just mention it again. Jesus' prayer to the Father was, John 17, don't take them out of the world, keep them from the evil one. And of course, you go all the way back with the heel of Jesus bruising Satan's head, Genesis 3:15, Psalm 110:1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in other words, we're defeating, and remember Jesus in the boat with his feet. And he said to the sea, hush, or be quiet, and it leveled off even though it was a terrible storm, leveled all with the bottom of his feet. That's you and I. We'll be working, operating. It's where I'm operating right now. It doesn't matter what comes up. I know that Christ in me is greater than anything that comes up. And so I actually look forward to battle, because I like to win. And especially in the name of Jesus Christ. So, if you look at the top of your page there, I just kind of put this all together real quick so you can see it all in one line. God made man in his image, by the seed image. The stalk is the image, the fruit, by the fruit you shall know them, image, the harvest is image, and the glory is image. So all of it is God. Don't want to make light of it, but God's showing off. He's showing up and he's showing off. He is manifesting himself. And there's nothing anyone can do to stop him. What would be for his pleasure? What would be something he would really enjoy? You have it in your hand. Image. This is what he would really enjoy. He said, I would like to finish what I started, making man in my own image and manifesting that image all over the earth so that every human being can see the glory of God. Let's look at these scriptures then. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So not only will we be in his image, but we will have the power and authority. Okay, Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul. Several things about this, but the main thing is God made the dirt that he made man out of. It was God's breath that made us to be living beings. And so it's God, and it's God, and it's God, and it's God, and it's God.
Yes.
Now, and that's where we get the word humility from. It says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. See, the word humble comes from the word humus, which is dirt. There's a particular kind of dirt. It's actually made up of dead plants and animals that is decomposed. And so we're made of dirt. We're made of dust. We have the breath of God. We have eternal life. We have salvation. We have resurrection power. All of that is God. All of that is God. Even the faith that we have. I get a lot of argument out of Galatians 2:20. Because I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. If you look at all of your translations, they change that from of to in. And so They say it's our faith in God. Now, let's go back to Job, God's conversation at the last chapter of Job. They said, now did you do this, and did you do this, and did you do that? Was it our faith that created the universe, or was it God's faith? The scripture says we understand it was by faith that God created the heavens and the earth. God has given every one of you a measure of faith. He can't give you something he don't have. So it's God's faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So God even gives you the faith to turn around and invest it in Jesus Christ. So under claim, the scripture says this. We need to have faith in Jesus Christ. But it actually, like I always like to tell people, it takes a lot of faith for miracles to happen. The fact is, it takes 100% faith for anything to happen. I don't have 100% faith. So, I guess I'm done. No, I take my 1%, if I have 1% faith, which comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I invest my 1% of faith, and Jesus, by grace, by his faith, has 99%, and I have 100%. And on my really, really good days, I have 2% of faith, but he still has to add the 98%. But we always have, through grace, we have all the faith that we need to accomplish anything. Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us. So that's talking about Adam. Adam has now become like one of us. To know good and evil. Does God know good and evil? Of course. He knew good and evil before he ever created the heavens and the earth. It wasn't knowing good and evil that was the problem. It was disobedience. So we reverse that by obedience. We obey God. I often tell God in every morning, Father, you just tell me what to do and I will be moving. Whatever it takes to get it done. I don't care what it is, where I have to go, you just let me know what you want done. Basically what we're saying in that, let me know what you're doing and let me participate. Why? Because it's all God. It's his spirit, it's his word, it's his power, it's his authority. So we're just kind of moving with him. Like Jesus said, I speak what I hear my Father speak. I do what I see my Father do. Okay. And now, at least, he put it out of his hand and take also of the tree of life. Don't let this get by you. Lest he also reach out and take of the tree of life and live forever. It's too late for you guys. You already did it. Jesus Christ is that tree of life. Hallelujah. And what do you have? Eternal life. You have eternal life. And the knowledge of good and evil. Hallelujah. Okay. Colossians 1:15. He, referring to Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Comma. Notice that? There's a comma there. The firstborn over all creation. The firstborn means that there's going to be a secondborn. That's y'all. Humans. He's the firstborn over all creation. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. And the Word became flesh. The same Word that created the heavens and the earth became flesh and dwelt among us. What's God doing now? He is becoming flesh, dwelling on the earth. What's He doing? Reproducing His image, the image of the only begotten of the Father. He wants everyone to know what He looks like, what He acts like, what He thinks. And He's going to do it through you, through me. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1:2-3. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So He's God's right-hand man. We are seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ. So as the body of Christ, we are God's right-hand man. Okay? Hallelujah. So when you're operating in faith, see, all you're doing is letting God be God. Let God do what He enjoys doing. He does everything He does by faith. And when that faith comes in, all of a sudden we have this hope that is the substance. Faith is the substance. Now, try speaking to the sycamine tree or the mountain. Or the storm. And it does obey. It does obey. The hurricane. The tornadoes. Every day we're getting reports. Oh, this tornado was coming straight at me. In the name of Jesus. And it just went around. It went up over. Whose faith was that? It wasn't mine. I didn't create the universe by faith. God did. See? And so what He's doing, He's letting us operate in His faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, what is the hope? Christ in you is the hope of glory. That is, glory being the recognizable reality of God's presence. As His image is now being produced all over the earth. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now everyone can see the glory. Everyone can know.
Yes.
That God is real.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. is the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Also in Colossians, it says, by him all things consist. Everything holds together, the entire universe, even billions of light years out there. And yet he holds it all together. Hallelujah. I'm with him. I'm with him. And is set down at the right hand, that's of authority, the majesty on high. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. What does that tell you? It's not veiled to you. There is nothing veiled. Like this, Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, nothing is kept secret except to be made manifest. You seek the Lord, he'll open your eyes to see everything. It wasn't about a week and a half ago, I was talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden, the heavens opened. And I could see everything from eternity to eternity. I could see everything, know everything. There wasn't a single thing that wasn't covered in the wisdom, knowledge, understanding of all things. I can't remember it all. That'd be quite a memory. But from time to time, and some of you have had that actually happen, that God just opens up and all of a sudden you see everything at once. So that's a wonderful experience. Okay? It is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Okay, that's one reason why we're blowing the shofar. Because it is breaking up darkness. And especially what they call alarms, which when I was blowing mine, I did the 9 blasts. Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
9 of them. Satan is terrified every time you do that. Okay. Lest the light whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Veil. They just can't see. That's where you and I come in. We are the glory of God. We are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And there's nothing they can do about that. If they want to drive down the same road with me, that's fine. But they've got to decide if they want to be close to me or far away from me. There's nothing they can do about turning the light down. Because I'm driving along praying in tongues, worshiping God. Hallelujah. So they have to deal with it. But people, they'll actually scream at you. All you're doing just walking along is, stop preaching at me. I didn't say anything. But you wanted to. But just because of the Spirit of God, they know that you're a believer. I think I told you about the guys from Nigeria. I was ministering out in Chapman, Kansas, and these two Nigerian people came, and because they were in the midst of a fast and they were praying, but the glory of God was so great upon them that I just felt like I shouldn't even be in their presence. I've gone into prayer meetings where people had already been in prayer for 15 minutes or 20 minutes, It's like, I just felt dirty, unclean, you know. Can we get there? Yes. 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 Can we walk in holiness? Yes. Can we be the image of God? Yes. That's what God wants. God isn't against us being in His image. Okay, John 14:9. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how could you say, 'Show us the Father'? Show us the Father." Now, let's take it to the next step, which is when they've seen you, they've seen Jesus, and when they've seen Jesus, they've seen the Father. Okay, Colossians 3:10. "And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge." Now look at this. See, you could say, yeah, that's talking about Jesus being the image. What's it? What about us? Renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created Him. Talking about us being in Christ, being made into that same image, changed from glory to glory. Okay? Here again, we'll do beginning and end. The verse, "All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose." Now, we know that verse, and we know the misuse of that verse. You mean God goes around killing babies and that's supposed to be good for us? Why does God start wars? Hey, they're talking about some other God than my God, the Father of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why do these things happen? Why do problems come up? And ask your pastor. Okay, so here we go. We're going to do 29, and then we're going to do 28, and then we're going to do 29 again. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Romans 8:29. "That we might be predestined to be conformed to the image." In other words, this was God's plan before He ever made man. Predestined us. Now that's not predestination. You're chosen, you're not. You know, that's not what we're talking about. Jesus was predestined from before the foundation of the world. As soon as you are born again, then you are in Christ, who was predestined from the beginning. Okay? So when it's talking about us being predestined, it's not talking about us, it's talking about Jesus being predestined. Now we are in Him, and we are predestined because He is predestined. Yeah. Okay. Okay, now let's look at 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Now just hanging that all out there by itself doesn't make sense, does it? But if you do 28 and then 29, it says everything that's going to happen in your life, if you will turn it to God, He will actually use that circumstance to change you into His image. Even if Jesus is said, and he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. In other words, he developed character through problems. So don't run away from problems. Don't run and hide. And God isn't going to take us out of here because there's problems. He's going to solve the problem through his word, his Holy Spirit, everything he's put inside of you, Christ being in you, the hope of glory. He's going to use everything he's put inside of you to solve the problem in the midst of unbelievers who can now see the glory. Got it? So that's the whole teaching in one sentence. That God is putting himself in us, changing us into his image, and there's this process that takes place because he wants to solve all problems. Now, from the original Greek, and I didn't know this, my Greek professor said it doesn't actually say in the original Greek, and we know that all things work together. He said, actually, it needs to be translated in all things. God works together. In other words, God, there's evil everywhere. But in that situation, God will work not just to bring you out, but to change you into the image of Jesus Christ. So we're being changed. Every time there's a problem, we get a hold of the problem solver who loves us, and we love him, and because we love him, we'll keep obeying no matter what, no matter how hard the problem is, how hard the situation is, just hang in there, and the next thing you know, there's a miracle. But God to do miracles where people who don't believe in him can see it, the miracle. The wonderful thing is we'll be able to do this 24 hours a day. I mean, this isn't just something that comes up once a year or every 6 months or something. See, when you're walking in the Spirit, there'll be opportunity and opportunity and opportunity for God to show his glory through you. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and committed us to the word of reconciliation. All that means is that God is attracting, God is reconciling all of sin comes short of the glory of God. By the death of Jesus Christ, by shedding of his blood, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. But only the blood applied can change a life. And so ours is to take the blood and apply it. And it really don't matter. I think I shared with you, at least some of you, I was called to a place in a house in Lee Summit. And I didn't even know where the address was. I mean, I just had to look it up and go there. I didn't know the people. I had no idea why I was there. And I just kind of walking around. Okay, Lord, what's up? And I saw this guy sitting on the floor, leaning up against the wall. And so I went over and I introduced myself, and he introduced himself, and I said, who are you? Tell me about your life. Why are you here? And he said, well, I'm a relative of these people. He said, I'm an atheist. I said, oh, wonderful. I love atheists. And I talked to him a little bit. Find out he was a genius. And he was at the university in Warrensburg. And so I asked him, I said, did in your studies, did you ever have to take lab? And he, oh, yeah, and all the science things we did. Yeah, you know, you studied it, but that's just knowledge. You have to go to the lab to actually prove it. I said, oh, wonderful. I said, I'd like to do an experiment with you. The scripture says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. I said, it'll just take a few seconds, if you don't mind. I'd like for you to pray this prayer with me, and let's see if it works. And so I let him sentence by sentence through it. His eyes got big. He said, he is real, isn't he? I said, yes. Experiment worked. Hallelujah.
So for that split second, he confessed the prayer, but he allowed himself to believe for 1 second in his heart just to see if it was real, and that was the doorway. Sleep?
Yes. Yes. But see, of course, we know truth. There is no such thing as an atheist.
Right.
There is no such thing as an atheist. Psalm 10:4, the evil person, will say in his heart, there is no God, therefore no punishment. So the whole idea of saying there is no God is to avoid the thought of punishment. Because I love to tell them, when they say, I don't believe in God, I said, that's okay, God believes in you. It only takes believing one direction for it to work. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image process, from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. It is a process. But this is what God's up to. He's changing us from glory to glory. Of course, we know the reverse of this. I remember going into a lady's house one time, and she said, I really need prayer. And I said, well, what's going on in your life? And she began to tell me all about her problems. And I said, well, I think you're looking at the wrong thing. I said, your life looks like a soap opera as the world turns.
Yeah.
And she said, oh yeah, I watch all the soap operas.
Yeah.
If we behold the soap operas, we're going to look like soap operas.
That's right.
If we behold the glory of the Lord, we will be changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Guard your eyes. Guard what you're looking at. Now, let me carry this one step further. Every time people see you, they're going to see the glory of God. Now, what if they don't like you? What if they want to argue with you? I love this. They can't argue with me without looking at me. And if they, even though they're against me and they're arguing with me, I know they're going to be changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord, because you become what you look at. So I become the glory of God that they're arguing with. I think I've given this testimony before, but for the point, when we were ministering, we loved to minister in Kansas City in this park. And of course, there were all kind of Satan worshipers, and there were rock bands that were playing, and just, you know, all kind of junk going on. And one fella kind of sitting off by himself, and I went over and started talking to him. And I said, well, you know, tell me about yourself. And he said, well, I'm a Satan worshiper. I'm a clairvoyant. I said, wonderful. I said, and what do clairvoyants do? He said, well, I can look into your eyes and I can see everything about your life. I said, oh, that's great. Would you look into my eyes and tell me what you see? He looked in my eyes and he said, I see Jesus. He's a preacher of the gospel now.
Hallelujah.
He saw Jesus.
Woo!
He was changed. Hallelujah. He accepted Jesus Christ.
Why not go to like a psychic fair or something like that?
I've done it.
Set up a booth welcoming clairvoyants, say, invite people to meet you.
Yeah, I've done
it. They'll all get saved if they're for real.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've done it.
We're going to have to write that down.
Except the one that just, before I could even get to her, she just grabbed a few things and just ran as fast as she could. See, that's the whole thing. Is that you couldn't have a conversation with Jesus without seeing the Father. And no one. Whether you're for him or against him, God never made a difference. And people have free will. They can go if they want. But beautiful. My experience is, I love, my favorite statement is, whatever they tell me they are, oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah, tell me about your life.
But when you do that, or when we do that, we've taken their biggest weapon away from them, which is fear.
Yeah.
And if you're not afraid, they can't counteract that.
That's
they
right.
can't counteract real love.
That's right.
They're not.
There's your key, love. See, they know that I love them. They, speaking the truth in love, if they know that you love them, you can tell them anything. But they have to know.
That's just, oh, sorry, that's just what the Lord was telling me that I talked to you about last time. That
yeah.
You have to really fall in love with people in order to
yeah.
be strong.
You do.
Yeah. Otherwise, they're just going
Anyone can say words. It doesn't matter how much you say, I love you. It's what you do. My favorite thing with Jessie is to do things when she's not looking to see if she'll ever notice that I did it. But it's kind of like giving. And the scripture is called hilarious giving. Jesse and I love to do this. Just put money in an envelope, no return address. They have no idea where it came from. No. And that's hilarious. No. And they get it. God, where'd this come from? And all they can do is thank God. Yeah. But it, doing things, see, and so it is with. But all the lost people out there, you can tell them God loves you, and you can tell them I love you. But until you demonstrate how much you care, and by the way, many times when God gives you them as an assignment, they're in the midst of one of these problems that God can solve through you. He's put everything, hear what I say, He's put everything in you that you need to solve every problem on earth. God is faithful. God is faithful. So if you're there, you're it. You're it.
Yeah.
If you're there, you're it. You say, but I can't do it. That's good. Because we can't. None of us can do it. But Jesus can. The Word of God can. The Holy Spirit can. The Father can. Love can. Grace can. Mercy can. Everything is present. All you have to do is love. Oh, yes. Okay. So greater, I'll put this down at the bottom of that, greater glory, greater image, greater glory. In other words, every time you obey God, then the image of Christ is being increased in you, and you are being fruitful, that is, reproducing that image in someone else. That's what fruitfulness is, by the way. Now, we all have kids now, when they're babies, they look, oh, that looks just like you. Now, that just looks like his mom. Yeah. And guess who we look like? Our Father. But we're being changed from glory to glory into this same image. And that's called fruitfulness. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, generous kindness, meekness, temperance, faithfulness, and so forth. Therefore, by their fruit you shall know them. By their fruit. Now what they say, their doctrine is, I believe or I don't believe, doesn't make any difference to me. What people say they believe or what they don't believe. If you don't believe what God believes, it's useless anyway. I just happen to believe what God believes, even though I don't know what that all is yet. I don't know him. And believing with his faith. But what is it then? Fruit. Image. John 13:35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Now that might bring you to the conclusion, I have to try harder to love. Let me save you a lot of energy. You can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot intuit love, and you cannot do love. You can share the love of God with people, but you cannot do love. As a matter of fact, the harder you try, the worse it gets. Okay? John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. My Father then is glorified, that is, his glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How? By us loving, bearing much fruit. 1 Corinthians 11:7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. We are the glory of God. Hallelujah. Down in Exodus 20, then, verse 4, You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down, and so forth. Okay. Why? Why would that be so important to God? Because the ultimate thing that God wants to do on the earth is reproduce His image. That's what He wants to do. And so the image, and of course that's what the Romans chapter 1 is all about. They worshipped the creature more than the Creator. They made images and so forth. So this right here tells you that the greatest thing that God wants to do on the earth is show up and change us into His image. And by the way, for the shofar players, you can use ram's horns. There are many types of horns that you can use. The only one you cannot use is from cattle. Why?
Well, see, that's why I was right. I just told him, I said, the golden calf.
The golden calf. And so it is not kosher. That is, it is illegal among Judaism to make any kind of horn to blow to God out of cow horns.
Okay.
And by the way, God made the Cuda antelope special. People keep asking me, "No, that's a strange looking animal." He made it special to make the horns. He must have a big one that he knows, because there were like 3 million people terrified at Mount Sinai when he blew it. Like this, they said, "Don't ever speak to us in an audible voice again." Don't blow the shofar. Because that's what it was. They heard the sound of the shofar. It was as the voice of God. Okay? Is that enough for one night? Hallelujah.